Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we have been thinking together from two books of the New Testament known as 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And I pointed out before, these two books are part of a set of six books written while Paul was on his journeys. Paul was still traveling, still establishing churches. He may have been on his third missionary journey, in fact, when he wrote Thessalonians, writing to the Thessalonians from the city of Ephesus. But as Paul was on his journeys, he was concerned about the churches that he had established, even the very, very new churches. Paul realized, as he had realized with the Galatian churches, that he had had to leave some of these cities too quickly. He was not able to build up the people in the faith. So he had to leave these cities very, very quickly. In the case of the Galatians, almost immediately after Paul had left, had gone back to Antioch there in Syria, almost immediately after he left, the false teachers crept into the church, pretending to be followers of the Lord, but actually they were false teachers. And so these Galatians were led astray. They were led into the false teaching, which some are even teaching today, that we are still under the law of Moses. The book of Galatians, for instance, makes it very, very clear. Romans chapter 3 through 7 makes the same thing clear, that we are not under the law of Moses anymore. The law has fulfilled its purpose. In the Old Testament, it was necessary to prepare the Jewish people for the coming of the Lord. But in the New Testament times, once Christ died on the cross, the law had fulfilled its purpose. Now the Savior had come. The Messiah had come. There were no more sacrifices. They had offered in the Old Testament times millions and millions and millions of sacrifices of animals. And every one of these was a picture of the coming death of the Messiah, the Savior who would come. John proclaimed him, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. And so when he came and he lived his life, and finally he died on the cross, at that point, now the law has fulfilled its purpose. But the Galatians were being led astray by this. In other words, God gave the law. This law is eternal. You must follow it. And if you do not follow it, you will surely lose your salvation. And so what he said to them in Galatians chapter 5 was, if you follow this teaching, you have departed from grace. You're not under God's grace anymore. Now you're under works rather than grace. So this teaching was false in that day, and it's false today. But these false teachers were always going to come. I was talking in the last lesson at the very end about the presence of the false teachers and some of the ways that they distort the truth. Whether it's concerning the Lord himself, is Jesus really God? They deny this, of course. They try to make Jesus to be someone else or someone less than the Father. And they also deny the plan of salvation. So many things they attack, these false teachers, even in our day. And they were doing this in the day of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, the Apostle Jude, and others. And so this problem is always going to be there. The problem is always going to be there. As Paul traveled on his journeys, he's going to be continually warning these people there will be some kind of false teaching they'll be tempted to follow. And the believers might be tempted because Paul cannot be there personally to be with them. And so they might be tempted to follow some of these false teachings. Now today, as we get into this book of 2 Thessalonians a little bit more deeply, I'd like to read again the first 12 verses of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. If you have your Bibles, you can follow this with me. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as though it were coming from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, apparently, let me stop right here. Some of these false teachers were pretending they were speaking for Paul. You know, they were writing letters and saying, this is from Paul. No, Paul is saying, I will never teach you false teaching. In other words, these false teachers are pretenders. They're simply standing in my name, but I disown them completely. They have nothing to do with me, and you're not to listen to them at all. You'll know when I write to you, But these are false teachers, and this is not the word of God that they're proclaiming. Now, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is like God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, or what withstandeth him, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now standeth in the way, or letteth, will let, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceit, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, or strong things to tempt them, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now let's stop our reading, and let me go into this passage a little bit more deeply with you. In the last lesson, at the very close, as I mentioned the danger that we have even today of false teachers. And for almost from the very beginning, this was true. You go clear back to 48 AD, that first epistle of Paul, and you find the false teachers were already beginning to arise. By the end of that century, some 50 years later, there is going to be even more of these false teachers. They will be arising, they will be coming in numbers, in other words. And this is true, of course, today. Right here on the island of Guam, where I'm making these broadcasts, all over the United States, these false teachers are well established. They're everywhere. There are droves of them. They go out two by two by two many times, knocking on your doors, going to business places, going to parks and other places to spread their false teaching. In other words, Satan always has his followers. And these followers are very, very devout followers. They're committed completely to their false teaching. They have abandoned the truth. They've abandoned the Word of God. And I've tried to emphasize to you again and again and again, this book, the Word of God, which I hold in my hand and which many of you have in your hands as well, this book is the only source of our truth. We don't get our truth from any other source. We don't get it from men. We don't get it from men's books. We don't get it from false churches or anything else. We get it from the Word of God. This is why God has made His Word, that it might be simple for us to understand, and yet at the same time it would be authoritative. We would absolutely know that it is God speaking. He speaks with authority, and we must follow His Word. And so when we listen to the teachings of man, then we're diverted away from following the Word of God. And this is the danger we face in our day. And so we mentioned this the last time. Now let's talk a little bit about the distorters, the people who are pretending, people today or people in the day of the Apostle Paul. These people were pretending in every way. They're pretending to be like us, for instance. They're pretending to use the Word of God. They don't really use the Word of God at all. What they do, they pull out verses from their context in the Word of God. And then they use these verses to prove certain points. You know, you can do this. There are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of phrases in the Word of God. And of course, you can pull out certain phrases and distort the truth by making these phrases mean something they were never intended to mean. So when studied in their context, you would not understand these phrases like the false teachers present them. But they pull out these verses, and they're distorting the truth, pretending they're just like us. Oh, I also use the Bible, they will say. If they try to come to your door, they meet you on the street, or they somehow meet you in a place of business. They say, I also follow the Bible, and of course they don't. Now, one other thing I want to say. when the false teachers come to your door. This is very clear in 2 John verses 7 to 11. It's taught throughout the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, but especially in 2 John now, verses 7 to 11. We notice that when these people come to your door, you are not to welcome them, you're not to let them into your house, you're not to wish them Godspeed, that's what the phrase is used there, and in no way are you to listen to their teaching. You're to slam the door on them, because once you begin to listen, even if you're trying to debate with them, Satan will put doubts in your mind. Satan is a clever enemy. He's able to put little doubts in your mind. It's one of the tricks of Satan. Now, in this passage, especially in verses 3 and 4, he's going to talk about the day of the Lord. Now, this is a day of great apostasy, turning away from the truth. It will come when the representative Satan will reveal himself in his power and evil plans, even seeking to exalt himself as though he were God. In other words, he's pretending to be God. At the time of the writing of this epistle, Satan and his representatives are being restrained by God. Now, we believe the Holy Spirit is a restrainer he's talking about here, the one who restrains, or the one who keeps them back, in other words. But there will be a day when the Holy Spirit will be removed from the world. Now, this is going to be at the coming of the Lord. And at that time, Satan will be unloosed. He will be unleashed, and he will be able to do as he please, leading people astray. He's going to have great power. I don't want to go into this, but some of you have studied the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation will reveal this more fully. But that's not the purpose of our study today. So, he's being restrained in how far he can go with his evil plans. But finally, he'll be taken out of the way. Now, this evil one, who has not yet come, will be able to perform certain signs and wonders to help in deceiving the people of the world. But even those will be somewhat limited. In other words, he does have the power to do certain signs and wonders, pretending that he is representing God himself, even pretending to be God. At the coming of the Lord, this representative Satan will be finally judged. He will be slain by the breath of his mouth, the mouth of the Lord, in other words. His followers will be those who have not received the truth so they could be saved, but rather they took pleasure in wickedness. Now, I want to speak very kindly and very tenderly, but very firmly. Many of you have turned your backs on the Lord Jesus, or you seem to turn your backs on the Lord Jesus. And I would simply warn you, there is danger for you in this. God will surely judge you if you continue in this way. I trust your hearts are not completely hardened if you're listening to this and you're not yet saved. But some people use various excuses for not being saved. Either they feel that God is too harsh, maybe they feel that God's people are not what they should be. They're using various excuses to excuse themselves and to permit themselves to go on in their wicked ways, in their Christ-rejecting ways. And there is great danger in this. God is not judging you by how some Christians may act. I would confess, not every Christian is living the true Christian life. But you don't use this as an excuse. You're coming now before a holy God, and it's this holy God who is going to judge you. The perfect, holy, righteous God is going to judge you someday. And so there is danger in turning your backs on God and being able to follow the works of Satan, go on in your sins, rejecting the Lord Jesus and rejecting his truth. In other words, you need to ask God to make your hearts tender before God and help you to listen to the truth and to follow the truth with all your heart. I want to say this. I've been in churches for a number of different Sundays where people have come who seem to be somewhat tender. Sunday after Sunday, they listen to the truth. But sooner or later, their hearts become hard, and then they cease to listen to the truth. Even people who come to church sometimes will eventually turn away. I know one man who sits in church Sunday after Sunday with his wife, sits on the third row, smiling, looking up at me as I would speak, but at the same time, he has rejected the Lord. Sooner or later, this man will refuse to come. He won't come anymore. So his followers are those who have not received the truth so that they could be saved. And they have took pleasure in wickedness. They've already turned from the truth. And Satan will deceive them, of course. Satan will lead them down this path of unrighteousness. They belong to his family. They're following his ways. They're working with his people. And Satan has some control in their lives. They don't have to go on like this, but this is a choice that they make. So these people are under the deluding influence of Satan, and there's a danger for them. And I simply want to say, if any of you who are listening are this type of person, I would beg you, I would plead with you with tenderness that you might simply listen to the Word of God and believe the truth and then trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior and then decide to follow Him. In other words, put aside all your excuses, which I mentioned. Put aside all these excuses and simply say to God, I need you. I need to be saved from my sins. I do not want to face the future of those who are lost in sin. And so now I come to the Lord Jesus, and I trust Him as my Savior. And with your help, I will follow Him with all my heart. That should be your response, and that's a response I would pray for. And so there will be a time when Satan will be revealed, when Satan will be revealed in his full power through his representative. And this time is going to be a very dangerous time, and it will follow the coming of the Lord. In other words, he's being restrained right now. Satan is working in the world, but he does not have this ultimate power. He's not an all-powerful person, a person who can do these signs and wonders yet. But he is going to be revealed at a certain time. When the believers are caught up, the Lord Jesus has come, and the believers are caught up into the air to be with the Lord Jesus. And so, as I finish these first 12 verses, as we follow this, I want to, first of all, encourage you believers. I want to encourage you to go on with the Lord. We who are true believers in the Lord Jesus, we who trust in Him alone as our Savior from sin, have no need to fear His coming. We will not be left behind. Every believer, even though sometimes believers have not always lived as they should, every believer will be caught up with Him. We are taken with Him into the clouds. You need not fear this time. But those who do not know the Lord need to be afraid. They need to recognize that their day is coming. The day of judgment for them is coming because they've turned their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's my prayer that every one of you, whether saved or not, may be what God wants you to be. If you're not saved, you may trust the Lord and follow Him. If you are saved, seek to please and honor Him with your lives. In other words, live lives worthy of Him, worthy of your calling as a Christian, and follow Him with all your heart. May the Lord help you, each one.